Welcome, everybody, to the Fantasy Golf Insider Podcast. I'm Jeff Bergerson, joined, as always, by my partner, Zachary Turcotte.
Welcome to Utah this week.
Welcome to Utah, indeed, the Black Desert Championship. If you are tuning in, I put this in my article, if you are tuning in this week, you are truly a diehard DFS golf fan or PGA fan. Because we are basically running back last week's event with the field we have this week on a brand new course in Utah, as you mentioned. So welcome for you diehards who are joining us this week. And thanks for joining us every week. Of course, you can find us at fantasygolfinsider.com and footballinsideredge.com. Easily the best value you will find in the fantasy sports industry for the price, because we have tons of information each and every week to conduct all of your research, our articles, our research tools. I had a big betting week this week. Finally, Zachary, I've been breaking even each week of the first 4 weeks, but I broke it open this week, went five for five in my betting picks, so it pumped up the bankroll a little bit. I'm feeling good about that. Also had some success in GPPs. How was your week in football and Sanderson?
It was pretty good for football. My bets were 6-3 for the week, so it was profitable, which was good. Cashed for my cash game lineup, which was nice for on the NFL side. I had a 4-6 lineup over on the golf side. Did not hit Kevin Yu, so did nothing massive over there.
How did we miss on Kevin Yu? Explain.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at his form, everything just lined up from his previous six events. I mean, he was really rolling. So
crazy.
Yeah, it was challenging. It wasn't the picks weren't too bad. I just had a couple guys in like the middle range that kind of blew it for me. You know, Adam Svensson's been one of the most consistent cut makers on tour really over the last 5-6 months or so. So it was a little bit disappointing that he ended up missing the cut last week. And then who else did I end up having? Oh, yeah. And then I thought, well, Cooch usually plays pretty well in the fall events, and he was on a nice roll. And, yeah, naturally he didn't make it either. So that was a little bit frustrating for me in terms of the cash games. But, you know, I'm pretty light overall. It kind of followed the event along, but wasn't watching it too closely for the most part. It's just that time of year where golf kind of takes a little bit of a backseat to the NFL for me.
All right, let's dive into this week's event. We're basically running it back with the field. Very, very similar field to last week. Different course, however. It's a new course, Utah. It's the Black Desert Resort Golf Club. Opened just a year ago, and it's going to host this event the next 4 years. It's a Tom Weisskopf design, 7,341 yards, so about on the higher end, I guess, than average. It's a par 71. I was looking at the course breakdown and the visuals. The fairways are about average in width as those on tour, about 30 yards wide. Greens are on the larger side. They're about 7,000 square feet. And they're composed of bent grass. So we'll have that in our putting splits tool this week. Be sure to check out who is better on bent grass. It's going to run around 12 on the stimp this week. As far as comp courses go, I think it's a safe bet going with some of the easier events on tour. I have Detroit right up there. I have TPC Summerlin, TPC Twin Cities.
Yep.
TPC Deer Run. I think all of those make sense. Do you have any other to add besides those, Zachary?
Yeah, I think you can kind of focus on the desert courses. One thing to note, it is above 3,000 feet altitude wise, so you can probably take about 5-8% or so off of the length here. So that 7,300 yard course is probably going to play closer, like 6,900 yards this week. The courses that I ended up using, I had Liberty National, Shadow Creek, Summit, Craig Ranch, Deer Run, TPC Scottsdale, T- TPC Summerlin and TPC Twin Cities. So we had some overlap there.
You missed on Keith Mitchell last week. You going to try and make up for it this week?
I might, just because the fact that there's not really a lot of other names that I love. I don't know. Jameis Power is playing pretty well too, but I don't know. I'm not going to pay 10-3 for him. Kidiyama, he hasn't really played much for a while, so he seems a little bit expensive in the same. I mean, Hosler was second last week, but he hasn't typically been in contention, so hard to pay up to 10,000. So, you know, Mitchell's in pretty good form. He hadn't played well at all at Sanderson over the years, so it was a little bit of a surprise that to see him there in contention, but he's only 10-6. So it really isn't going to be that difficult if you want to roster one of those guys. So I think he'll probably be my one guy above the 10K range for the week. How about you? Do you have any?
I'm going to be stubborn. I'm not going to Killer Keith this week again. I'm just going to stay away. I'm going to go Sheamus.
Oh, okay. All right. So you are going to be a little contrarian there.
I am going to be a little contrarian there. I think we'll get a little ownership break. I like him just as much. But overall, I, again, like last week, am going with a more balanced roster. I like you said, Kitayama, we haven't seen in forever. Do you love Hosler? Not really.
Yeah. I mean, Keith's got the, as far as the rolling numbers, he's got a clearly, of this crew, he's the one who's kind of up at the top. So, you know, that was where he kind of won me over there. And then there's just not a lot of names in like that, even in like the 9K range. You know, sometimes I won't play a guy in the 10K range because I want to have like three or four guys in the 9K range, but I'm not really drawn to all that many. Patrick Fishburne is interesting this week at 9,600. He's a Utah guy. That'll probably be my theme for the week, is finding the Utah guys and putting them in the lineup. So I love a good narrative, especially this time of year when it's difficult enough to kind of put together a player pool. So I'm always trying to think about like who is going to have a little bit of motivation. And so Fishburne's from Ogden, Utah. He played college golf at BYU there. He's going to be as fired up as anybody to be out there playing this week. So Fishburne would be one in the 9K range. Give me a little Stefan Jaeger at 9,300. Not necessarily because he's always in contention, but has a pretty good track record for making the cut. I wrote about it a little bit in my column. You know, he had a long streak where he was, you know, making one cut after another and got so good after, you know, he even finally recorded a win, you know, this year. And then, you know, he did sprinkle in some missed cuts, but if you look at him for the most part, they're on the tougher, more challenging courses. That's not going to be the case this week. Oh yeah, one other thing to note, this course, as a resort course, the one thing that they had kind of read that could be an impediment to players would be if the winds were picking up. But in a quick look at the weather, there's really nothing to worry about as far as winds at all this week. It looks like it's going to be just perfect. Winds are pretty much calm for much of the weekend. Looks like partly cloudy. Temperatures into the mid-80s each day as far as a high goes. So, you know, nothing really to worry about there. But yeah, Stefan Jaeger is another player that I'll be on. And then, boy, I hate paying up to 9,000 for Lucas Glover, but he shows up pretty well for me.
You know, look kind at of the putting the numbers, dude. Look at the putting numbers.
It's pretty wild that he was actually putting pretty well last week. I mean, as far as what he was doing on the final round, he actually gained over 2 strokes putting within that final round. And for the week here, he gained almost about 4.5 strokes putting over the three rounds. So
2 events in a row.
Yep. And
last time we saw that, what happened? He won.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Yeah. So when he gets the putter going, it typically works out pretty well for him. So those are kind of the three guys, like at first glance, Fishburne, Jaeger, and Lucas Glover in that 9K range. Anybody else in the 9K catch your eye?
No, that was, I think, pretty much Ben Griffin really let me down last week. I felt like that was a great, great spot for him.
Yeah exactly. He's still 9,400 this week, and he'll probably make the cut. You know, if you want to play him, he'll probably make the cut, but he'll probably finish like 30th or something like that. So it's, you know, it's it's going to be challenging to find, you know, the guys that that step up and break through there. So yeah, those would be probably the four guys above 9K overall that that I like.
Is there anyone in that range or even dropping down to the high 8K range that you think is going to be overlooked that we should target in this range?
Overlooked? Well, I mean, as far as ownership would be concerned, I'm sure JJ Spahn, after his withdrawal last week,
and did we get an answer on that? All I saw everywhere was undisclosed.
Yeah, I didn't see anything. It's kind of interesting that there's like three guys in the field this week that were withdrawals last week. So Chad Ramey also withdrew and Taylor Montgomery also withdrew. And they're all playing this week. So
yeah, weird. Spahn came after the first round.
Yeah, it's always strange when you see stuff like that and you're like, oh, okay, so you won't play the next week. Oh, well, here you are. You are playing the next week. So Spahn probably won't be owned much. I'm sure Patrick Rogers crushed a lot of people last week, so might be a little under owned. Nobody's going to own Harris English because he's just not playing very well. So overlooked. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe some people will back off of Matthew McCarty at 8,000. He finished, you know, 63rd after a killer run on the Corn Ferry Tour to earn his spot here. Not super exciting as far as how he finished there.
Like,
so
I like going back to him this week, though. I mean, he's just
getting his
feet wet on the PGA Tour. Let's cut him a little slack.
Yeah, I don't mind that. I mean, I'm sure there was some nerves there, a little bit of excitement. But yeah, I mean, I think guys that I'll probably look at in this range, I think Andrew Novak, he was on my cash game roster last week. He's been playing really well. I think I can go back to Adam Svensson at 8,200. He had been playing well here for, you know, many, many months. So, you know, to have one missed cut there, I'm not going to let that kind of kill his momentum. Harry Hall, he is one of the few guys up in this range who didn't play last week, but he's been in pretty decent form with a handful of top 25 finishes and in recent starts there. But I guess I don't necessarily love the 8K range. I think Michael Thorbjørnsen is potentially going to be a little bit popular after his eighth place finish last week, but he had a huge price jump there all the way up to 8,800. Hadn't been great before that, so we'll kind of see. Maybe he's one of these guys who just emerges in the fall. You see that every year. There's, you know, kind of a handful of guys or they struggle for parts of the summer, and then they get to the fall swing and light it up for three or four events. So he'll be one to keep an eye on, I think, at 8,800.
I have quite a bit of exposure. You mentioned McCarty at 8,000, but then Matty Schmid at 79, Justin Lohr 78, Mac Meisner 78, bang, bang, bang. I'm going to own all of them.
Yeah, I think so too. Lohr was on my cash game team, and he's been a really good cut maker. You look at the rolling numbers, very strong, 19th in terms of strokes gained to green over the last 16 rounds and 6th. In strokes gained total, which I always like to see. So you see a guy playing strong from tee to green, and if his strokes gained total number is better, obviously that means the short game is there. And it has been. Daniel Berger, let's get back on board. He finished 7th this past week. He says now that he's 100% healthy for the first time in a long time. So I guess
that's interesting.
Obviously, he wasn't healthy in California the few weeks prior to that when he missed the cut, but says he's feeling great. He's healthy now. So, you know, I don't mind that price there. 7,700. This isn't a loaded field. There's not a lot of guys in like the 6K range that I'm going to be playing this week. We know what kind of talent Berger has when he gets his game going. So yeah, I don't mind that price at all. I'm happy to take a shot. Patton Kizzire has suddenly been playing great. Followed up a win in California with an 11th place finish here this past weekend. So I think that's kind of nice to see. I think he'll be somebody who's in play. Jacob Bridgerman at 7,600 has had a handful of top 25s of late. What about Rico Hoey at 7,600? 68th place finish certainly didn't inspire me all that much, but he does keep making cuts. So I don't know. It hasn't been quite as good as the run he was on in the summer. I feel like we might hit one of those moments where he goes back to being, you know, kind of the player that we saw for most of 2024 here before too long. And so I'm not sure if sticking around for another week or two is going to be all that smart in terms of making him a core play. I might just step back down and own a little bit of him, but not necessarily as much as the last couple times out.
There's a couple of guys in this mid 7K range who posted really nice finishes kind of out of the blue. Alex Smalley, 7,500. Bud Cauley, 7,400. Both finished tied for fifth coming into last week's event. Not in great form, either one of them. Any interest in either this week?
I don't know. I'd love to see Bud Cauley be able to come back.
Yeah, me too. I know that's a good, that would be a great story.
Going through the injuries and things that he's, everything that he had to deal with there for just years and years that completely derailed his career. And he, you know, it's two good starts in a row. So he kind of built off the start in California. He finished 32nd. He was fifth this last week. You'd like to think that he could keep it going. So I don't know if it'll be like a core play. I could see him. I could see owning like 10%, 15%. So I don't mind chasing there a little bit. Same with Smalley. He'll be another guy that I think 10 to 15% seems pretty fair, because you're going to need guys to fill out your player pool. And there are not a ton of guys down here that you're going to be all that excited about. I know you were on Ben Coles in your write-up this week or your, yep, for your betting picks.
Yep. I think he's worth it. He's good player on bent grass. Recent stats are pretty decent overall, and he had a couple nice finishes at both Detroit and TPC Twin Cities this year. So I think that's a reasonable play at that price.
I think Henrik Norlander is somebody I'll stick with. You know, we know this story with him. He goes on these runs where he's great for four, five straight starts and then not so great after that. I mean, he wasn't quite as good this past weekend at Sanderson as he has been previous years, but still 28th place finish, and he was cheap. He was only like 7,500. So he's still in really good form. The rolling stats are fantastic there. So I don't see any reason to get away quite yet, especially in an event where he gets a little cheaper coming off of a decent finish last week and in a field that certainly isn't as strong. We got David Skins here. He finished 37th this past week. He fired a 60 in the first round.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Last week. So I don't really know what to make of that. So obviously one really good round and then three not so fantastic rounds beyond that. So it's crazy. So the first round at Sanderson Farms, he gained 9.168 total strokes per round. Round two, he lost 1.1. Round three, he lost 5.5, and round four, he was dead even. So that's, I don't really know what to make of that, other than just that he's lucky that was in the first round there overall. So otherwise, he wouldn't even have been making it to the weekend. So let's see, other guys that are down here. There's not many. I have a little bit of Austin Smotherman. I have a little bit of Trace Crowe. Maybe a little bit of K.H. Lee, just because he, you know, we kind of know, and this is a, you know, another distant connection, but we know his success at Waste Management. So he might be somebody to take a little bit of a look at, kind of getting down here below 7K. I'm not super excited about what's left. I really don't have a ton of exposure. One guy who has been making kind of a nice comeback of late is Kevin Chappell. At 6,600, yep. Still, yep, feels like he's not quite getting the bump in salary that you would expect. Because if you look at the other guys around this range, there's really nobody who has any real consistent form. And you kind of look at what he's done, and he's made a handful of cuts. He made the cut out there in California, and the rolling numbers look good. He's actually putting pretty well, which is not always the case with him. So I think 6,700 for Kevin Chappell is probably one of my favorite plays there in the 6K range.
Yeah, and again, just like last week, not a lot of exposure in the 6K range again. So just not much that I like at all.
No, yeah, what other names are here? Maybe a little bit of Martin Laird at 66. He kind of checks out as far as like some of the comp courses. How about Wesley Bryan at 6,600? Is he going to make a little bit of a comeback here?
I'm rooting for him, but I don't know.
Yeah, I haven't really seen much that would show me that he is, but you know, he's at least seems to be trying to play his way back a little bit there too. But yeah, beyond those guys, really no, there wasn't really anybody else that stood out for me in the 6,000s range. Yeah, I just wouldn't waste a lot of shares here. The pricing at the top isn't that tough. It's not that aggressive. You don't really need to squeeze on, you know, too many of these extra guys or make any hero calls on players that are likely going to miss the cut. I mean, if you look at the 6K range this week, almost all these guys played last week, and boy, I don't see any of them with a better. None of them finished even in like the top 30. It looks like Wesley Bryan was the best one in the entire 6K range this week, and he had a 37th place finish. So,
yikes.
Kind of shabby as we get down into
right.
this range.
Right.
Yeah.
Any takeaways from football last week or looking forward to this week in football before we get out of here?
Oh, wow. It was a lot of exciting games this weekend.
Some high scoring games.
I mean,
last week.
Kicked off on Thursday night. One of the games of the year with the Falcons and the Bucks was just incredible back and forth, and looked like the Falcons had blown it, and then the Bucks gave it away, and the Falcons got it in overtime. Cousins throws for over 500 yards. He's doing some hip hop dances after the game. Atlanta's loving him now. So, you know, that's kind of a fun story to watch develop. Sunday, there were a lot of exciting games, starting out with the Vikings are 5-0 now, which is crazy. It was a sloppy, ugly game, which I kind of expected with the Jets. But had an exciting finish. Rodgers threw three picks, which is crazy. He's never thrown three picks against the Vikings before. So that was pretty wild. A lot of just insane finishes yesterday. I don't know how many of them you managed to catch, but you know, we had the Texans and the Bills revenge game for Diggs. Some of the most atrocious clock management I've ever seen in my life out of the Bills at the end of the game. Did you catch the end of that?
Yeah,
the Bills got the ball
when they
back
threw it rather than running it.
Threw yeah. it three times. I mean, there's yeah. almost no chance that they're going to get down for a field goal.
Not in 20 seconds. No.
Yeah, it's oh. very difficult. You know, you're just kind of hoping maybe you pop a run or something, and then you can, you know, take some shots. But at least make Houston take their three timeouts.
Yeah.
You know, kick the ball, let them get it back with, you know, less than 10 seconds left, like they did, and then they have to, you know, do something crazy to try to get a play. And instead, they completely blow it. They throw it in three straight incompletions, kick it back to them, and they run one play and get a few yards and kick a 59-yarder to win the game. So that was pretty wild. The Bengals-Ravens game was incredible. I mean, just back and forth all day long. It looked like the Bengals were just going to put it away again and again. They kept, you know, retaking like at least like a 10-point lead late. And Burrow throws a bad interception near the end of the game, and the Ravens come down, they tie it up. They go to overtime. Neither team seems like they want to win. The Ravens have just a ridiculous fumble. They're, you know, trying to get the ball snapped, and then it's a low snap. And then the Bengals get it, and they're pretty much in field goal range right away, like the 35-yard line, and they were happy to just be content with not moving the ball at all and settling for just a 50-yard try, which I know drove you crazy.
Yeah, I was texting you. I knew that was going to happen. I'm like, just do something. Get 10 yards for this guy.
And then, of course, you know, and then, you know, the holder drops the snap. So that was crazy. And he missed it by a mile. And then, the Ravens win that game. You know, the 49ers game against the Cardinals. You know, the Niners look like they're rolling. They're up 23-10 at the half. Their kicker gets hurt, and that seems to throw everything kind of out of whack a little bit. But they didn't even score in the second half, and the Cardinals come back and somehow manage to win that game, which is crazy the way the Cardinals had looked the previous couple weeks. So that one was pretty crazy. The Giants go on the road. I'm thinking, oh, man, they don't have neighbors. They don't have Singletary. Their offense has sucked all year. And so, naturally, they just completely schooled the Seahawks. I mean, it was just wild. There were so many crazy touchdowns yesterday. You know, in the late window, the 49ers blocked a field goal and ran it back for a touchdown. In the Giants Seahawks game, the Giants nearly score a touchdown on their first drive, only to fumble at the goal line on fourth down, and the Seahawks run it back 100 yards. And then later on, Seattle's going to try to tie the game late. They get a field goal blocked and returned all the way for a touchdown. The Packers-Rams game, Jordan Love channeled his inner Will Levis out of the end zone, flipped the ball in the air, and the guy grabbed it at the three-yard line. He runs that one in for a touchdown. I mean, there were just a lot of really crazy, wild sorts of games yesterday. It finished up with the Cowboys converting a fourth down for a touchdown to knock off the Steelers, which I know gave you a little bit of joy there because of your season-long bet that you have against the Steelers. So it was just a ton of good games, a lot of very entertaining games. Colts and Jags went right down to the wire, and that one was back and forth. So it was a lot of fun. I think what I've seen so far is the NFL feels very wide open. The Chiefs, they kind of dominated the Saints tonight to go to 5-0. So it looks like the Chiefs are still going to be, the playoffs are, it's a long ways away, but it sort of feels like the playoffs are probably going to run through Kansas City again there this year. But there doesn't feel like there's any one team that can't be beat so far around the league. I don't see it. I don't see that. Definitely don't see that in the NFC. Because, although the Vikes are 5-0, they feel far from being like a sure thing to dominate the rest of the way. So it really does feel like it's anybody's to win at this point of the season, which is a little bit different. A lot of years you feel like there's like two or three teams kind of in each conference that are definitely there. I don't see that this year so far. So it's been entertaining to watch. You have any observations, any takeaways?
No, much the same as you did. Just the high scoring games I liked quite a bit. The endings were crazy. Tonight was pretty clear cut to me. I didn't think the Saints had much of a chance going into Kansas City, and they really didn't. I didn't even like their game plan all that much, but.
Yeah, I didn't like what they did this past offseason. I didn't really understand the point of having another year with Derek Carr as the quarterback. Like you're just kind of capping your ceiling at that point. I mean, he's fine. He's serviceable. Like if he were your backup, that'd be great. But what team is he going to lead to any kind of championship? I mean, the Saints are just they started out they crushed the Panthers. Who cares? And they did crush the Cowboys, which was kind of crazy. But they're just going to fight to be mediocre the rest of the season. They passed up. They're in a quarterback heavy draft this past season where there were a lot of good quarterbacks available, and they opted not to take one. I thought that was silly. And they have some decent weapons. Olave's strong, and Shahid is. Man, it seems like that guy's catching a deep ball just about every week. And
yeah,
Kamara's still a good running back. He still can do his thing when they're kind of able to get him involved. But beyond that, they're pretty limited. Their line is banged up. They're going to be banged up all year. It's going to be easy to put pressure on the quarterback. And as what happened tonight, they blitzed him late and got to him and took him out of the game. And so now they're in a real mess. For the rest of the way for the Saints. So, but yeah, exciting to watch the Chiefs. It doesn't matter. They lose guys, people get hurt. They just bring back Kareem Hunt. They bring back Juju. They shuffle a few parts around. They get Kelce involved again. They start running their little trick plays and I don't know. It's really something to watch. I don't know how many more years they're going to be able to keep Kelce around, but I don't know. They just keep finding ways to win. So,
yeah, anyone who says Mahomes isn't the greatest ever, I mean, he revived Juju Smith-Schuster tonight.
God almighty,
that guy's so washed.
Yeah, and when he went elsewhere, where was he? Was he in New England last year?
Yeah, he has been in New England. Yeah,
he was, and he did just nothing.
Yeah, he's been dust for a couple of years now.
Yeah, you come back and you start playing with Mahomes, and all of a sudden, all of a sudden you're filling up the stat sheet again. Some of the plays he makes are just some of the runs that, that Mahomes puts out there are just unbelievable. And the effort that he gives, knowing where the first down marker is and just keeping plays alive. I'm sure for defenses, that's got to be the most discouraging thing ever. You put a good rush on him, you're covering well. But just the fact that he can be back there for 7, 8, 9 seconds, keeping a play going, it just kills defenses. But
He has the perfect combination of escapability, running ability, downfield, the ability to look downfield and throw with accuracy. It's incredible to watch.
And he's smart. He knows where the down marker is. He knows to get down on the ground. He doesn't typically take crazy hits, so he's not putting himself at risk. And what I love is when he's running, he's even deceptive, like beyond the line of scrimmage. He'll be way past the line of scrimmage and he'll still be doing like pump fakes and getting guys to move all over and then gain an extra yards or just to freeze them for a second and getting around him. And he's really clever when he's on the field. He's very cerebral. He doesn't make a lot of the stupid mistakes that you see from, middle of the road quarterbacks. So, entertaining game. They've got, I think it's in a week or two, they've got the 49ers. So that one should be, quite a bit of fun for the rematch of the Super Bowl this last year. But we got a couple good games coming up this week too. We've got the one I think I'm most excited about is to see the Commanders going to play against the Ravens. So we'll get Lamar Jackson against Jaden Daniels for the first time. And we've seen just nothing but offense out of both of those teams the last couple of weeks. So that should be a lot of fun to see. Now that we've got, Daniels went on primetime and kind of surprised the Bengals, I think. He's not surprising anybody anymore. So
no.
I'm excited to see him going up against the Ravens defense to see if he can kind of keep some of that magic going that he's been showing so far. So that one should be a lot of fun.
All right, we'll get out of here for this week. If you have any questions for us, you can definitely hit us up through email or in Slack chat as well if you have any questions or want to share anything with us. Otherwise, we'll leave it with this week's Black Desert Championship. Enjoy the week of NFL, and we'll be talking to you next week.
Good luck.